We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. Today we read from chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 17 to verse 30. Matthew 5, 17 to 30. Now here, Jesus expounds the law of God as it pertains to his kingdom, and it answers some very important questions. One of the big questions today is, what is the relationship of Christians to the Ten Commandments? Which Jesus plainly is referring here today. And we're living in a time when very many Bible-believing Christians will tell you that that was for the Old Testament, that we don't live in relationship to the Old Testament. Dispensational theology taught that that was for a different period of history. Today, New Covenant theology differs from Reformed Covenant theology in that it says the Ten Commandments are not directly relevant to a Christian's life. Well, what does Jesus say? We're going to find here that Jesus says it is absolutely relevant to our lives. Now, we need to make a distinction. It's an important one in handling the law of God. The first coming of Jesus Christ very thankfully delivered us from the condemnation of God's law. And so when the New Testament says it many times in many places that we're no longer under law, but we're under grace, Paul uses that language in Romans 6, he's speaking of the law as a means of justification. Well, it's going to be very clear as we read what Jesus says about the law, that we're not going to be justified by it. The law convicts us of sin in terms of its legal demands. Thank the Lord that Jesus has fulfilled the law's demands for our righteousness. He's paid the penalty of our sin. And so when it comes to justification, it is true that the law has been set aside. But it's equally true that when it comes to Christian living, to our relationship with God, if the law describes Him, it's the law of the Lord. And so it's, I think it's been helpfully said, the law sends us to the gospel that we might be freed from its condemnation. But then the law, the gospel, having saved us, sends us back to the law that we should live by it. Charles Spurgeon said, the law is no longer over us. It's under us. It's a pathway by which we're to live. And look at what Jesus says. Do not think I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. It's going to be very plain in the Sermon on the Mount that Christians are to know the Ten Commandments. By and large, broadly speaking, we do not. And we're to live a life that seeks to honor God in fulfillment of His law. Thank God we're not saved by the law. The law condemns us. But having been delivered and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, it's clearly a guide for our life. Now, secondly, Jesus makes the point here that Christians are to think of the law not merely in terms of behavior, but also the inward attitude. And by the way, he's not revising it. Jesus is merely expositing the law of Moses. In fact, you'll find things in Deuteronomy, for instance, that make essentially the same point. So he gives two examples here. Anger, which he says violates the sixth commandment against murder. Now, thankfully, we don't actually kill people when we insult them. There is a difference, thankfully, between inwardly hating someone and actually murdering them. But Jesus says, oh, that's true, but you're violating the same law. And so there's an inward, there's an attitudinal aspect to all the Ten Commandments. The eighth commandment against stealing means that we should be generous to others. There's a positive fulfillment. There's an inward thing. Now, Jesus here speaks of anger, and he speaks very plainly that when you insult somebody, you speak this, you know, contemptuously to them, you are guilty of violating the commandment against murder. He says, in fact, we should live in such a way where part of our relationship to God and our worship to God is living peaceable among one another. The other example is lust and the seventh commandment. Don't go around saying, look, I've never committed adultery if you've lusted inwardly about another person to whom you are not married. The point is the law has an inward application and it's to be thought of that way. Now, the third thing I want to point out is it's very clear from Jesus that we are to take our commitment by God's grace. Oh, how we need God's grace for this. That we would observe the law of God, we're to take it very seriously. The Christian life is lived to glorify God by keeping His commandments. And He says in verse 29 and 30, and He's speaking, this is sanctified hyperbole. Jesus does not mean literally that you're to cut off a body part if it tempts you to sin. Now, there have been people in church history who I think of Origen, the great scholar of the early church, who dismembered himself because Jesus said to do so. No, Jesus is speaking in a biblical hyperbole in a way that says you're to take it very seriously. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better than for it to lead you into hell. I'm reminded of another ancient church father, Tertullian of Carthage, and he was upbraiding some church members who they had jobs in the import business, and they were corrupt because everything was corrupt down there. And when he upbraided them, how can you as Christians be violating the eighth commandment? They pointed out that it's the way business was done in Carthage. And they actually said to Tertullian, this was not wise. They said, we have to live, don't we? Tertullian said, do you? There's no problem with us dying for Jesus, but there is a problem with us violating his law. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Matthew 5:17-30. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, or whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I tell you, I say to you, that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fire, hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court. Lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison, truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go to hell. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.